Greetings, Tacoma. John Doherty here once again for KTAH 101.9's Climate Talk, the place where we talk about everything climate. And as I always say, always respectfully. And really, it goes beyond that, and I would say always from a nonpartisan perspective, too. Here's a simple fact. The climate is not partisan any more than gravity is partisan. Gravity affects Democrats, Republicans, Independents, and third-party candidates alike, just as climate is not impressed with the politics of us folks, us residents of the Earth. It's just a matter of simple chemistry and physics. So a couple points to make along that line. If you look at the surveys of opinion, yeah, those folks who are, let's say, left of center are more inclined to be willing to take on government programs to manage the climate, and those who are right of center are less likely. But it's not a black and white thing. There are plenty of conservatives, folks right of center, who advocate for intervention to manage, mitigate climate change, and there are some folks who are left of center who just don't think that it's a worry. And we look politically, there are definitely Republican politicians who are concerned about the climate and think that there are conservative approaches to mitigating future damage costs from climate change. So to name just a few, there's George Shultz and his buddy Baker. They're authors of the Baker-Schultz plan for mitigating climate change, what Fortune magazine called the most ambitious climate change mitigation plan in history. And that's from guys who were definitely conservatives and Republicans for many, many years. There are plenty of others who look at climate change from a conservative perspective. Let's take Bob Ingalls, for instance. He's a Republican from, let's see, South Carolina. He served in the U.S. Congress from 1993 to 1999, and then again from 2005 to 11. Bob is the executive director of a group called Republican.org. It's a group of conservatives who care about climate change. In 2015, he won the John F. Kennedy Profile and Courage Award, and he's got a long resume of doing stuff showing his concern for the climate and our future. And then there's Francis Rooney, a Republican in Florida. He's was the chairman of the Climate Solutions Caucus, co-chairman, I should say. And the Climate Solutions Caucus was a House of Representatives caucus that advocated for government policy to combat global warming. So while it's certainly true that the more conservative a person becomes, perhaps the less interested that person is in government intervention in terms of climate mitigation, but it's not, as I said, black and white. There are plenty of folks right of center who are concerned about the climate and looking to take steps to mitigate that challenge. And I'll just throw in here my opinion, and that is that really, if we're going to be successful politically in the United States regarding climate change and legislation to address climate change, it's going to have to be bipartisan. If the left manages to jam through some kind of program that doesn't have widespread support, then that program's going to meet a dead end the next time the administration changes. And as we know, administrations do change, right? So I think it's fair to say that conservatives tend to be skeptical of government, and liberals, progressives, tend to look to government to solve problems. Ronald Reagan famously said something like, government is not the solution, it's the problem. And that's something that's been quoted time after time over the years, indicating conservative support for that idea and skepticism about government. And when we talk about climate change and the politics, typically we're talking about, okay, what's the government going to do? So I want to throw out a perspective here, and that perspective is that there are some things that government should do, maybe even must do, and there are some things that's probably not a good idea for government to do. What we have to have is an educated and thoughtful electorate who are going to make those distinctions and ensure that we get the kind of government that can make those kind of distinctions. There's a quote that says, in a democracy, people get the kind of government they deserve. And if we are not wise and thoughtful ourselves, if we're not engaged in our government, then we're going to pay a price, and government will do things that don't make sense, and it will not do other things that do make sense. So let's, as an example, take a look at the current COVID epidemic and the government response here in the United States, which I would say has been a complete and total disaster, essentially a massive failure of government in an area in which government should take responsibility. And we can look around the world and we can see countries where government did take responsibility, like, let's say, Singapore, Australia, New Zealand, Taiwan, all places where the government took responsibility and did a terrific job, saved many lives and saved the unnecessary expenditure, huge amounts of money and lost revenue from a slowed down economy, unemployment, and those kind of things. I have cousins who live in Australia that I stay in touch with. And just recently, we had a little conversation comparing their COVID response to our COVID response. So in the last few days, we've seen a couple hundred thousand new cases per day. And in Australia, given the smaller population, if they had new cases at the same rate, they would have had about 18,000 cases per day in that same time frame. The reality, they had 25. So government had a rational and workable and successful response to COVID in Australia. Here in the United States, we did not. So my main point, there are things that government should do, and addressing climate change is one of those things. And there are liberal and conservative ways of addressing that. And I don't see anything out there that we can't sort out, that we can't work out in terms of taking into consideration both of those perspectives. The important thing is that we do something workable. There's an expression, the least effective plan is one that never takes effect. We can spend the next 20, 30 years arguing about what we should do. And in the meantime, things are going to go from bad to worse climate-wise. As we know, let's call it the previous administration, seems like they went out of their way to put people in positions of authority over things like environment and climate, who took a destructive approach to those things, who took the notion that government shouldn't have their fingers involved in things. They took it to an extreme, and we paid for the price for that with COVID, and we're going to pay the price. We're going to continue to pay the price regarding climate. So enough in the way of generalities for the moment, at least. Let's move close to home here, and let's talk about politics regarding climate here in Washington State. The legislature has gone into session, will be in session for a total of 105 days, and lots of stuff to consider. The reality is that only about 1 in 7 bills makes it through the legislature, so most bills die along the way. There are bills being considered that would include things like a carbon cap and reduction program, a clean fuel standard. So important for us to get that clean fuel standard and become the fourth state slant province on the West Coast to have a clean fuel standard. Let's get on board. Let's make it happen. Expanded electrification of transportation, including the ferry fleet. How sweet to think of our ferries going back and forth across the Sound, powered by nice, clean electricity coming from nice, clean hydropower. And a reduction in carbon footprint in buildings. Just some of the issues that the legislature will be considering. Referring back to people get the kind of government they deserve, this is the time for us to be talking to our legislators. Honestly, they want to hear from you. Trust me, the lobbyists are down there in Olympia. They're talking, they're twisting arms. They're looking out for their industries, and they're counting on us to not say anything here. From a climate perspective, we're fortunate to have Governor Jay Inslee, who is what I would call a climate hawk, and he's got an aggressive climate policy package that he's introduced for consideration in this current legislature. One of the things he said was, I'm quoting here, climate change is a health issue, an economic issue, and an equity issue. We must address these very real threats to our state, and we cannot wait. And I agree for sure. You're accustomed to hearing me suggest that we need to do our homework, and this is no exception. And you know, really, it's not that tough to get on the internet, do a little Googling, visit the state legislature's website, figure out what's going on down there, what bills are there, read over the bills or the summaries of the bills, figure out what's going on there, contact your legislator, and let him or her know what your opinion is and what you're advocating for. According once again to Governor Inslee, if his package becomes law, it's going to reduce our current carbon dioxide output by 2030 by about 35%. And keep in mind, there's more going on with fossil fuel burning than just CO2. There's also small particles which are very harmful to the health, especially of folks that live near industrial areas, airports, and along freeways. Now, detractors from the kind of legislation that I'm talking about like to point at the costs associated with it, that a clean fuel standards, for instance, would result in higher gasoline and heating oil costs. And really, if you take a close look, there are some costs, but the detractors tend to exaggerate those costs. For instance, California has had a clean fuel standard since 2011, and gasoline costs less now than it did in 2011. But it's not just that simple. The costs of not addressing climate change are manifold, and if we don't address those causes, we're going to pay those costs. It's like the old mechanic used to say, you can pay me now or you can pay me later. Along that line, insurance companies are pretty much bottom line kind of folks. They do their spreadsheet, and if they have more money coming in than going out, they feel good about themselves. So they're not a bunch of climate worriers. But they have pointed out just in this last year that we've set a record, a very big record, for the costs of natural disasters over the course of the year. Those are the kind of costs I'm talking about. Increased costs for insurance and the costs of destroyed property, farmland lost, workers losing their hours at work because of disasters, and so on. So as I said, pay me now or pay me later. The costs are coming if we don't address them. You know, we can do this, and by that I mean we can take steps to effectively mitigate climate change. Honestly, I feel a little wisp of optimism starting to show up in our political system, in our culture, in our daily lives. I got a family member who just got an indication that she may be getting a position that she's been wanting to have for a long time, and that the firm that's going to give her that position potentially is starting to look a year or so ahead and looking at an improving economy and new jobs and new demand and so on and so forth. So there is cause for optimism. This COVID thing is going to be behind us. We got an inoculation coming on, and we can take the same kind of energy and attention that we put into developing that COVID vaccine to address climate change in thoughtful kinds of ways. So, yeah, let's be optimistic, but let's be realistically optimistic, which means we're out there, we're doing our homework, we're talking to our elected representatives, and we're making a difference. So that's my thoughts for today. I'd love to hear from you. You can send me a note at john@ccltacoma.org. I am an activist with Citizens Climate Lobby. It's a great outfit. There's a lot of other great organizations too, so I'm thinking of 350 Tacoma or Citizens for a Healthy Bay or national organizations like Audubon or Sierra Club. Join one of those groups because we're more powerful when we join in with other folks. I'll put some notes up on the Citizens Climate Lobby website for you to check out to make a couple shortcuts for you to contact your elected representatives. You can find those at ccltacoma.org. So that's it. Take care, work hard. We can make a difference. And reminding you, as always, live like the mountain is out. Take care.